welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain, inform, but while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark. I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I am full of vengeance.
And candy corn.
Num.
How has the last week been for you, Dev?
Shenanigans.
It Same.
Has been shenanigans.
Same. Remember how earlier in the year I redid the pace and everything on my computer? Temperatures are back up.
So I ordered
a new cooler since the cooler says it's at 35 degrees and won't go above 37 for the coolant. So it's definitely the cooler. So
I'm surprised it ate shit and died that fast.
Well, remember, I replaced the paste. I did not replace the entire cooler. The computer itself The computer itself is 4 or 5 years old at this point. So I assume what happened was when the prior paste dried, the cooler fried itself to keep working, and now it's just dying. So I have a new cooler already. I just haven't swapped it in yet because busy.
Yes, because that is time consuming, and you also need your computer to work for things.
Yes, and luckily, I had bought another one of those thermal pads and had it in the freezer to do maintenance on my PS4, which I have not had time to do. So I just will use that.
Convenient.
Yes. And then, new episode of Beat Break. And we start, as all things must, with coffee. Also, I gotta say, that shot going to the Machmon was one of the best camera shots we've seen in Digimon in a while.
It was enjoyable.
Yeah, and some really great background music.
And also, I liked more the world building, because the guy's just, like, doing his trash routes, he's getting shit done. Just hitting up a vending machine with a Sapotama, and then...
Although one could argue what he's actually doing, since the truck the Machmon is going against is automated. You gotta wonder why we have the truck driver-esque guy there.
Well, the truck isn't going to throw the trash into itself.
And then we get, you know, Glowing Dawn doesn't hand over the Digimon they catch, they only get a part of the reward, and on to the next job, but Kyo doesn't come to it. I like Trotmon giving descriptions is very much based on Tentomon doing it, and I enjoy that.
Yes, they're both nerds and they fly.
Yeah.
And they have little weird eyes.
And do you like how they've decided not to be subtle about Reyna's crush on Kyo?
Not at all.
I can appreciate that they're just doing it, the crush, honestly.
Like, she's allowed to be thirsty. Yeah.
And, I like Tomuro trying to pass on being involved, even though it felt like they already dealt with that. But I like him, like, just like, no, I have other stuff to do.
Like, I get it. You kind of want to just prioritize things that, you know, get your brother back, which is the only thing you care about in your entire world. But, sorry, my dude. Got other shit to do.
Then we start getting the family comments and insert 1,000 Fast and the Furious jokes.
Absolutely.
And Reyna screws up her ankle diving to save Tomuro, and Cougarmon just wants to sleep.
I felt that because I did that same exact motion on my ankle.
Yeah.
And fucked it up for 3 months.
Yeah.
Except instead of trying to save someone, I got startled by my phone ringing.
Yeah, so that one's good because it's not the overly cartoony, like, fully hurting the leg. It's you step wrong, so your ankle just goes wrong and just hurts at random after that for a bit.
Yep.
I'm
surprised you can even stand on that.
I like that we get all the family comments, and clearly Tomuro has not been talked to about this, so he's just kind of pissed and leaves.
He's like, oh, this is ridiculously over the top. I did not sign up for this.
Yeah. It's interesting that they just go to all the effort to tell us that Digimon don't eat, but then we get Prissymon, who very much enjoys smelling the tea. I like that as a weird character thing, where she's not drinking it, she just kind of carries it around and sniffs it.
Someday she might evolve, to actually drinking it.
And then we get the, Reyna's stubborn, used to be as stubborn as Tomuro is. Makoto acts very calm. They very much play Makoto the same way they did Iori, where he's the young kid, but he's talking very mature most of the time.
Very level-headed and chill.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see them snap like a twig.
Yeah. I feel like the moment of the episode for me, which is stupid, which is, you know, they're talking. We get the flashback with Tomuro's brother and the family. And then randomly Gekkomon's there eating a rice cracker.
It's fitting.
I just like that. And
especially works later on when it's like, he takes after his tamer.
Yeah. And I like that they're like, Reyna gave him the rice cracker one night when he was hungry and couldn't sleep. Also, yay, A plus someone other than Tomuro and Gekkomon get an eye catch. Reyna does.
Yes, I was honestly expecting, is it going to be Gekkomon in a slightly different pose?
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. And then battling Machmon again, but working together. Some really solid, almost chiptune-y video game music.
It was very cool.
Reyna slips. Reyna slips because of her ankle, and Tomuro jumps in and takes a hit from debris. This is where some people really did not like that hit scene. I'm perfectly fine with it because it's just like if he gets hit by debris and he gets knocked out, it kind of fucks up the scene. You just have to accept that it's not doing anything to him. Some people were really mad by like the heavy, what looked like a metal pipe hitting him.
I guess these people have never like blocked a piece of like metal shrapnel before. I mean, you can tank that. It's not in his head.
Yeah, but I get what they mean, but like that's not the scene. It's not, you know, a very realistic scene. It's fine. I like the emergency escape slide on like the pseudo automated freeway where if someone gets stuck there, they're supposed to jump down. But hey, Mirror World entrance. And this one's a racetrack.
Gotta get fast.
I like them working together to distract the partner, and then Gekkomon and Tomuro are in charge of Machmon. And basically we get one solid headbutt and baby. Then we get I feel like the fist bump moment would have been cooler. I think they showed a promo image of that shot before the episode aired.
I've already forgotten.
And then they jump to Kyo giving Yoshi coffee, and they're talking about something relating to what Kyo was doing. That is a solid teaser for something. And then we find out that the criminal with the Machmon, it was not his idea to do any of these. He was just told he would get paid if he would do them. And someone needs semiconductors. I will say that's a bit weird to me. Semiconductors feels like such a modern or 80s heist thing.
That's kind of how it went.
It is, but you feel like it would be something more modern, like Sapotama shells, or you know what I mean? Semiconductors are just such an...
Well, they did say it was specifically for Sapotamas, so
yeah,
maybe they're maybe manufactured in a specific...
Maybe. And the letters
burned. Whatever.
They burned the letters. And then steak dinner for everyone as their successful job. Gekkomon eats in one bite. And I like them all offering food to Tomuro in friendship as he's still eating his own. And
he has the glove.
And I like the little throw off with Makoto thinking Kyo left on purpose to build solidarity.
I mean, he could have.
Yeah, but they gave us that little scene. They gave us that little scene to suggest something else is going on. This was a bit more of a standard episode. We got some ongoing elements. You can tell they spent basically like they did with Adventure and Ghost Game. The first three episodes had the animation turned up. This one's notched a bit more to normal. We get a few really good shots and a lot of static shots.
It's like, yeah, we know where they're saving on the budget.
Yeah, some nice...
But it still looks good.
No, some nice Machmon stuff. Good character stuff, especially. Yeah, I'm happy with this one. We're definitely a few notches down from the heights of episode one, though. This feels a bit more sustainable, though, to be honest.
But it still looks good.
No, it does. No. I mean for even the plot and character stuff.
Yeah, I was meaning more like certain series where you could see like, this one episode, they went all out. And then there's like, wow, this is shit.
Yeah, we're at a sustainable level for the animation where it looks fine. And then we only get two guests this time. First, Ryohei arrived. It was Nogi, who I think that was Machmon's partner. He was Kunemon in Digimon Survive.
Huh.
He's a few characters in Battle Spirits. He was Soma in the 2018 version of Kitaro, and Ryuji in Roll Trigger. And then Machmon is a good one. Nobuyuki Hiyama. He was Machmon in 2020, and he's one of the bigger recurring voices for Digimon characters. Black War Greymon in 02.
Okay.
Seraphimon in Frontier. Slash Angemon in Crosswords. He was the Shadramon in Ghost Game. And some of his better known roles is Madarama in Bleach, Guy in Gao Geiger, Shin in Cowboy Bebop, Yutaka in East Eden, Joe in Fatal Fury anime stuff. He has so many voices. Koji in Godan or Viral in Gurren Lagann. Balmung in Dot Hack. Shiro Amada in O8th MS Team.
Just, his voice for Machmon is really close to Viral from Gurren, yeah. Which is why he sounds so familiar.
Mr. 3 in One Piece. He's Hiei in Yu Yu Hakusho. He's Link in various Zelda stuff. He's been the Flash in some Batman cartoon dubs, Rampage and Beast Wars. Lots of Beast Wars and Transformers stuff, but yeah. As mentioned by Tiny Iron Chat, this is the first time we have someone in Beat Break returning to a prior Digimon role. My biggest complaint about the episode was I would have liked to have heard him more. That's a pretty normal complaint for guest voices. But yeah, that's about the only real complaint I have about the episode. But yeah, solid episode. I'm happy about it. And then the next episode is Half and Half. And did you see in the preview what Digimon showing up? I won't say who it is so people can see the preview notes. There's a Digimon who I don't think has an anime appearance before. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
No, chat's apologizing for saying it. No, it's fine. I'm just not saying it just for people listening who want to go see the preview. If you see the chat, then it's not a spoiler. I think it's in the preview. Yeah. Has he actually not shown up in the anime before, or am I imagining that?
I don't think so. I don't recall. Like, I mean, yes, in video game, but not.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm okay. And then we got a scene from episode 3 as the Lion Art. That's the climax battle scene from episode 3.
It's very fucking cool.
Then we also got some art of corrections of Tomuro from episode 4, which I love that we're getting so much behind the scenes art.
I hope this continues.
So do I. Especially since it's so cool to see, but it's so little effort for them to do it for, like, just marketing, where it's literally just grabbing a few images and throwing it up. And they've started doing character trailers, and so far we have Tomuro and Gekkomon. Looking at that image of Gekkomon they're using for the trailer in the, like, the promo key art, does he look shorter than normal?
I don't know.
Maybe he's leaning over. It's a bit weird. And then
he's normal-ish to me.
Yeah. And then it's the second anniversary of the original theatrical release in Japan of Digimon Adventure 02 to the beginning. It is wild how much stuff we get in the franchise nowadays. 2 years ago was movie. That does not feel like 2 years ago.
That's like, no, that was less than a year ago, right? No.
Yeah, it's just wild how, and only like a year and change since the, year and a half or so since the Blu-ray. And then
we got that super fucking fast.
Yeah, and talking about stuff we get fast. So on Tuesday, they announced the NHK World Japan Series Anime Manga Explosion will be doing a Digimon special episode that weekend. It aired very nice, like, half-hour-ish. Like, oh, here's the franchise began as a toy, and then it became anime. And then they go over a bunch of stuff talking to, we knew they were going to talk to Kenji Watanabe, Seki Hiromi, and also Miyamoto Hiroki. I wasn't expecting to see Volcano Oda in it. It's always good to see him. It is always wild to see. It's always
just the two they announced.
It's always wild to see him out of the persona.
Weird.
Because you have to remember, like, he was a Bandai executive, basically. He was putting on the outfit because that was the budget they had in the old days, was for him to just go buy stuff and just be the host himself. So it's always funny to see him, like, oh, in fact, I think the last time we saw him out of the persona at an event, didn't he still have a full head of hair?
Yes.
And he was wearing, like, that light gray suit, and he had that head of, yeah, when he started becoming a voice actor. Really, really good behind-the-scenes stuff. I always love when Kenji Watanabe, he's always so happy to talk about American comics.
Also, I liked when the Digimon Zukon showed up in the, it's like, I have that exact book.
Yeah, the encyclopedia. It's always weird to see those out of context. Sekiromi talking about some of the stuff they did with Digimon Adventure. I always like the Bandai didn't really know what to do to make into an anime, so they sort of just let them do stuff unless they had to get it approved. They talk about Beat Break. They show, I love that we got some early art of Tomuro.
Yes.
We got to see. First, can we just point out, I really do not like Chiropmon without the coat. That is very much a design that, like, it was designed around him wearing the coat.
He's naked!
Oh, no, I don't mind that. But, like, it's very much just, like, basic bat with big head. And when you look at him wearing
the
hoodie...
I mean, it looks almost exact like Vomdemon's little alphabets.
Yeah. Yeah, this is very much a design where it was designed around having that coat on.
Yeah.
We get
I
to
want
see...
a plushie.
I love the... When it was originally Mecha Gecko, he wasn't sure what they wanted, so he made a bunch of different designs, and then those got revised. I love some of... Like, the one that kind of looks like a weird fucking armadillo. That's also good. I know, they're all so good. Then they show off stuff from the evolution for Pristimon to Wolvermon. They show off Digimon Expo. I love the little goodbye stuff at the end from everyone. And they also mentioned, here's where I wish we would get context. We're like, hey, in worldwide sales for Digimon are over 1.3 billion USD. It's like, I'm not quite sure that's the actual number. Because I would like to know what that is the number for. Because, for example, would numbers from Saban and Bandai US have counted? Or would that, or are they only counting money that came into Bandai or Toei Japan? Or because it feels like it's been over 1.3 billion, to be honest.
Yeah, especially considering like all the merchandise and licensing and just...
Yeah, yeah. So I would like to know what that number actually means. It's sort of like when sometimes you get the, it's shipped over 1 million copies. It's like, no, no. Tell us what sold is, not shipped.
Yep.
Yeah, this is very solid special. It is available on this on NHK World Japan site until Saturday. I really recommend giving it a watch. It's really good. I'm quite happy with it. It's very much an EPK style thing, but it really is a solid watch. I do think they could have planned. I do feel like they could have planned the time better than for the initial airing to be at the same time that Beat Break goes live in most of the world. But they make the availability so high, it's not super an issue, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of shows on NHK's website in general, so their player's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Let's see. And then, new Liberator web novel chapter. Does it
Rest in Peace is Cross Connectia.
Does it feel like the web not... We talked about this a bit with the webcomic last time. Does it feel like Liberator's now stretching a bit much? This was so short, like, very little actually happens here. It's not bad.
I mean,
but
good for me, because I could just zip right through it.
No, but still, it a little bit short. And yeah, we get the hint of Cross Connectia nearing the end of its time. Not much to really talk about, because it's kind of just an extension of the Pangeomon Suzune stuff we had before. Nothing bad, just short. And then a few time strange up. First off, they did a making of the shadow puppet sequences. So that's interesting for two reasons. The first is, I don't think anyone realized those were actual puppets.
No, I assumed it was just, you know, regular ass animation.
Well, like, so there's a reason why. If you watch the scenes in the game, they actually clean up the puppet scenes so much and sharpen stuff so much that you can't actually tell that it's not just digital animation. I don't know if I'd consider that a plus or a negative, to be honest. But they're cleaned up a lot in the digital.
It's like kind of defeats the point of the using the paper puppets.
A bit, but I also understand the reason why is it really makes them stand out, having so the contrast. But yeah, really nice making of. I really love seeing the them showing the joints moving.
It's very fun.
Oh, and chat, they're saying at sometimes it is more obvious that it's live action in the videos. Honestly, I didn't notice that watching it at all. I'm not shocked, though. Probably just missed it while watching them. Let's see. We get a preview of Great Grizzly Mon.
There.
This is a weird one, because nothing spoilery, but new Digimon for the game, but functionally has no actual role in the game. In, like, main story stuff. It's there, like, as a point of logic, rather than actually, like, being involved.
Yeah, it looks fucking badass. No,
it does. It's just
it gives me Astamon vibes.
I get what you mean. It's the colors, I think.
Yeah, especially with the mask around the face and everything.
And then they did a digital release for Wherever You Are by Reish, which is the theme song to the game. And they did releases for both the Japanese and English version of the song, and wide releases around the world. So very easy to get. I like both versions. I think the Japanese version fits a bit better for me. But both were really good. And then, hey, it's our first card preview in a while. It's Amethyst Mandala from Starter Deck 22, which is Amethyst Mandala.
It is very pretty.
It's a really good visual of it. I remember when I first saw it, it was like as a tiny thumbnail. I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's a screen cap.
Same.
Because it was so small when I first saw it. And then when I pull it up full size, I'm like, oh no, this is really, really solid, not screen cap. It just is really solid art.
Yeah, and of course I'm looking at these on my phone, so even doubly it looked like a potential screen cap.
And then, bless anyone who likes model kits, the limited color version of Imperial Dramon is available to pre-order at Premium Bandai USA.
Not bad.
Yeah, this one... I didn't notice this before, but a few people pointed out, this appears to use the model changes from the Paladin Mode kit, like the different wings and everything. Which I think... I may be wrong. I think the wings were the things people complained about in the original kit as being a little flimsy. I don't know if anything other parts had issues, though. But people definitely like the wings from this one, it seems. Although I'm not sure how I feel about the stand, one of the art options being the photo of the kit.
Just staring up at his own crotch.
And then, Dev, what do you think of the fluffy swaddled plushies?
Oh my god, I want them. They're so cute.
Now,
they're stupidly expensive, but they're so cute.
Now, looking at... I need to check. Are these keychains?
I think they're a little bit too big to be keychains.
Okay,
they make excellent keychains.
Okay, someone messaged me asking why I didn't mention they were keychains, and I'm looking at them like, I don't see any text that says keychains. Because they're about like 3 by 2 inches or so. Like, I don't think the... These are a bit big, and I don't see any place on the back for a hook. I need to check. I wonder if they announced a second version of them that are smaller with keychains. Because I could...
If they are, I would fucking love that.
They also seem too expensive for keychains, frankly, because these are about $40. But yeah, someone asked, and I'm just like looking, and I'm like, I don't think these are keychains. I don't know. But yeah, I will check.
They're a bit big for it.
It's possible a second version was announced, and I've just missed it. Okay, so which of these six is your favorite, Dev?
Ken.
I feel like the only issue I have with Ken is the hair is a bit too dark, so it contrasts a bit much against the black puffball thing. I wonder if...
It kind of looks like he has like a little slightly angry eyes, which is like...
The one that everyone seems to be liking sharing pictures of is Iori. Because like everyone's so happy and Iori has the resting face.
Yeah, he just looks sad. But then again, look at his hair. I'd be sad too if my hair looked like that.
His hair looks like a bad Takaru hat.
Yes.
Yeah, so these will be out in March. But pre-orders are open now. Yes. And then...
It's stupidly expensive for something like that.
Yeah. Then we knew... They announced this before the show premiered, was that there would be Beat Break Stefan Animate Girls Festival. And that is in about a week and a half away, and they've announced wave products. So, a snacking theme. I love how it fits into the show where they don't eat.
Yeah, it's like the Digimon are just carrying shit.
Except Geckomon, who is holding a burger, and he's very happily drinking a drink. He looks so happy. So the products here are acrylic stands, can badges, Polaroid shot collection, canvas, which it looks like this won't be available online, and then acrylic keychains and a square pouch, which looks like it will only be available online.
It's a shame, because I like that pouch.
Oh, no, the pouch will be available online, not at the event.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's only the, like, the art canvas, the canvas art.
Okay, my brain swapped those.
Yeah, and for every 3,000 yen spent, you get a postcard. Does it feel like they're doubling up on the postcards in the past year where they're going, here's every character by themselves, and now here are the Digimon partner pairs?
Yeah.
Am I wrong, or did that not happen as much more before a year ago? Like, they would do it sometimes, but not. It feels like they're doing it a lot now.
It feels like it's just kind of like to pad out the quantity of things. No,
exactly. And what's weird is you think with 8 characters, you actually don't need to do any padding. Yeah, but yeah, those look nice, and the pre-orders are open now for the online stuff. And then, polls, the favorite Glowing Dawn Digimon from Digimon Beat Break.
Congrats to Geckomon.
The interesting one here is, I think, the other slot. So yeah, Geckomon is first. I feel like Pristimon is second. And then I want to say Marasimon third. Like, I like Tropmon, but it feels like in a small category like this. Does it feel like Tropmon's fourth?
As much as Tropmon is my personal favorite, I feel like my little bat baby is going to be fourth, because, I mean, you can't really compete against a fucking red panda with guns and also a big beefy furry with a giant sword.
See, I thought you were going to say Guts or Cloud. Yeah, so that closes November 12th, so it'll be a bit before we find that out. And then Great Grizzlymon was added to the reference book. That is some solid artwork.
He is really fucking badass.
It feels very wrestler. Even without, it has a wrestling mask, but I even mean without that, it very much has that style done really well. We have a few pictures of the pop-up shop in San Jose. It is more a pop-up corner, which I think is what they did in the one in
the UK.
No, UK, they're doing a bit bigger. There was one at Mitsuo Marketplace in, Indiana or somewhere, last year.
Oh, yeah, it was around Chicago.
They did the same general setup there. Some neat stuff. Nothing super fancy and probably not worth more than a short drive. Because there's not exclusive stuff. It's just, hey, some Digimon stuff here, and you don't have to travel to find it. So this one's interesting because they don't explain the context of it, so it was left to other people to explain. Digimon Web put up old social art of War Greymon summoning Gaia Force, and it basically said, Gaia Force, congratulations. There's a racehorse named Gaia Force that won a race.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Makes sense because everyone's hard into the Uma Musume.
Apparently it is the kid of one of those horses. I don't follow Uma Musume enough to fully understand, but a few people did mention it is the son of Kitasen Black. I don't know how important that is to Uma Musume.
I saw someone cosplaying it at the last convention I was at, and they did have a cosplayer race, so apparently popular enough.
Okay, yeah, so that one's kid is Gaia Force, who just won a race. And the Digimon Web Twitter post does not explain any of this. It's literally just like, Gaia Force, congratulations, that's it. With the Art of War Grand, it's like, okay. Naoki Akimini put up art of his Omegamon art from earlier this year, showing off the process, the rough line art, flat colors, and final.
Can I just eat their artwork, please?
Oh, fucking good. It really... Yeah, I don't have much to say about it because it's just so good. And then As Maria put up new art of Omegamon X, label it as X Evolution Release Remembrance 2025 to celebrate the stream. And they note that Bandai should let them know if they ever want to do a metal build EX Omegamon X. And he notes A, mouthful of a name, and 2, I guess this must be the design he would use for it, because this does not look like any version of Omegamon X we've ever seen.
No, this looks significantly fancier, but it's fucking Osmaria, so...
Yeah, it is amazing how he can take, the fanciest, spikiest-looking motherfucker and make it fancier and spikier.
Cannot be stopped.
And then we found out about Digimon Believers right before our last episode aired from Ayumi Minato. He put up some social media art just for to look forward to. First one was showing the main characters, and then showing Kyokyomon sulking because no one knows what kind of monster it is.
Aw. I went to hug it.
It is very fun art. Then the card game social art is Zeno really looking forward to Owen showing up.
He misses his boyfriend.
The showing the fidgeting is probably what makes this. Although we really needed more of him being Zeno for this to like matter.
Yeah, there was just like a couple of pages worth of images and
Then some Digimon Beat Break art. So Takahiro Kojima, who's the character designer for Beat Break, put up art of Kyo and Murasamon. Really good.
Fucking cool.
I know, it really is. Then the Digimon TV count put up art saying thank you for the meal, basically themed after the, you know, theme of the episode of family and eating a meal and everything. And yeah, I...
Pristimon's fucking eyes.
Chat also pointing out Pristimon, you know, with the tea again. I like Gekkomon trying to lick the plate. Everything's so good here. Like, everything's just great.
And poor Makoto gets stuck with the dishes.
He seems oddly happy. Although, honestly, I tend to look at dishes more when I wash them. And then the Digimon TV put up art from the episode of Gekkomon along with the staff list. Do you like how, like, almost regal Gekkomon looks with that fork? Fancy.
Yeah, it's like a king with his staff.
And then for chat, it's time for questions. Once we're sending ahead time, someone asked, how substantial do you expect the Time Stranger season pack DLC to be? From what we've seen, they're only planning about 15 or so Ultimate/Mega-level Digimon, and we'll see story-wise what shows up. It does not feel super substantial, but we will see. Missions could make it a bit deeper, but I haven't been very enthralled by a lot of the side DLC type missions so far, to be honest.
There's going to be t-shirts.
The shirts, I'll actually give them credit because those are all unpaid in-game. You pay for them in-game with currency, but I don't believe there has been any so far outside of like the full fancy costume ones that are actual DLC. All the like, this is a video game shirt has been, this is just in the game. It's right. It's the fancier costumes that they've charged money for. So hopefully there. Then someone asked, what is the best movie food, not including popcorn? That curious what we'd say if popcorn is off the table as a choice. Dev has no choice but to eat popcorn because I sent her Christmas gift early and it was lots of popcorn.
Yes, my father keeps urging me to make more popcorn.
Yeah, when a coupon came up, I'm like, Dev, do you actually want this as your Christmas gift? Because if so, I'm just buying it fucking now.
But yes, if popcorn is off the table, still something like popcorn-ish, something you can just kind of like grab and just shove into your face without having to really look at it.
Yeah, I would go, I like when theaters have the hot pretzel bites. Although those don't last very long at a movie, though.
No, they just get deleted from existence. I like Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces, M&M's. You know what? I like having snow caps at the movies. All good choices.
Also, Twizzlers are good. Just kind of gnaw on them.
Yeah, those are good
ones. Or then stick them in your soda.
I haven't done that in a very long time.
Me either, but that's only because I usually sneak snacks into the theater rather than pay $8 for a cup of mostly ice and some fizzy sugar in it.
Let's see. Then someone said, do you think Digimon would benefit from being more experimental? I feel like in the 10 years since it's come back, it's been very experimental.
Yeah, they're always trying at least something new-ish.
Yeah. I mean, think about Digimon comics. That was a wide variety of weird shit to get at the same time. I guess you could argue it hasn't been experimental in games in a while. Like, the last experiment...
Because there hasn't been that many fucking games.
Yeah, that's the issue. Is, like, Survive's experimental unless you pull it apart. Like, okay, It's remaking adventure. It's a visual novel. It's a very basic but decent strategy RPG. Putting it together is kind of experimental, but all the pieces are kind of basic. But
yeah, and other franchises have pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, but it feels like in the 10 years since Digimon's came back, it's been really experimental. I have no issue with it continuing to do so, also, to be honest. It's interesting that way.
Also, the most experimental thing are the war crimes they call collaboration drinks sometimes.
They are, but they're all... The funny part is, like, I look at other collaboration drinks, and they're, like, normal drinks. I look at the Digimon drinks, and it's, like, all inedible trash. Like, completely fucking inedible.
Look, it's like when occasionally you'd have, like, recess at school, and people would combine various things from their lunch boxes to create a most unholy abomination and then dare someone else to eat it.
That sounds about right, honestly. Then someone said, what games do you consider your comfort games, things you can just go back to forever? What else do you do to decompress from all this? What's weird is a lot of things that I would consider comfort games, I may not actually play a lot of. Like I love, like, classic Pac-Man, but I will not play a ton of it.
Well, often because, like, we have so much other shit that's on our plate that's like, oh, I want to spend time with this new game.
Yeah. Like, sometimes when it's time to decompress, I'll just put on, you know, music playlists and just do stuff while sitting there. Like, so many games to play. There's so many fucking games. But yeah, like, old arcade games especially, I will when possible. Like, it is fun sometimes to just play Donkey Kong.
Like the classic Genesis Sonic games, but also Cave Story Into Oblivion.
Yeah, I think, God, Cave Story is something you've been playing since, as far as I know, as long as I've known you.
Yeah, since it basically came out, and one of my friends in high school gave me a CD or with it burned on it. It's like, play this. I'm like, okay.
But yeah, I will often jump back to just like old Mario games. I have just tons of equipment dedicated to that type of game. The old Ninja Turtle games I all love. That sort of thing. Last chance for questions in chat. Then someone said, now that Beat Break is a few episodes in, how do you feel about the chances of a home video release in Japan and the U.S.? U.S., it's unclear just because no one has gotten newer Digimon stuff for home video. Japan, it feels like it's more of a chance than Ghost Game. It's hard to say this early until they announce something, though.
Yeah, I mean, we were at the beginning of Ghost Game, we were like, hell yeah, this is going to be an awesome Blu-ray release down the line, and then it's like,
Nothing. No one cares. Except that one person who went in trying to harass them about it. Then you guys had talked about wanting 4K releases in the past. Do you think we're closer to that? I don't think we're... The issue with 4K releases of Digimon is at the moment, the only stuff there really is would be Kizuna or the beginning. Or doing something like, here's Beat Break upscaled to 4K. So outside of the movies... it still feels like, you know, Digimon sells enough on home video to fans that doing those two movies at some point in 4K would make sense. It's just a matter of when and how. I mean, hell, we still have another 6 months. We still have another half year of 02 25th anniversary. They could easily announce that at the end of this, but who knows?
With a steelbook.
I'm trying to decide if they would do the steelbook or if they'd just go crazier with a box. They could do both.
A steelbook within the box.
Have you ever seen the steelbooks with the library packs? That's where it's like the big steel thing that goes around multiple steelbooks?
No, I have not.
Let me see if I can find a picture to show you in chat. 1 second. Find a picture. I think this is a picture of one. Okay, here it is. Here's that for chat, and here's this for you. Where it's like a big metal round case with foam in the middle that holds them.
That looks pretty fucking cool.
I only have like two or three things I've gotten has that type of thing. It's not very common.
But yeah, it's like no kill, like overkill.
Exactly. Plus, I get the feeling they get damaged a lot, so a lot of companies won't use them.
Yeah, because it's like one little bump in shipping and that glorious shiny exterior is just, oh, I'm getting this return because it did not come in the condition that I asked for.
Yeah. Okay, and that is it for questions. Now, Dev, Wikimon's had a rough year.
Technology hates us all.
And it's been basically down for the last 3 days. The first, so this is a double question for the end. First, do you have any idea when Wikimon will stabilize and or be back up?
It's back up now.
Oh, is it? It wasn't when we started. To such a degree that I think at the beginning of the show, people are like, when will Wikimon be? Oh, it is back up. So chat, if you were asking about that at the beginning, it is in fact back up. Okay, second question, Dev. Since it is back up, what Wikimon article would you like people to check out?
Bakomon, since in about 15 minutes, I'm going to be driving to a midnight shift to do nothing but handle Bakomons for the 8 hours afterwards.
Okay. And I can be found at With the Will as always. We will catch you guys again probably Monday. We will see. Thank you everyone for showing up. We will see you later. Bye.
Bye.